Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. And we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
You're welcome. That's all I've got to say.
We appreciate it. Rex Road's back with us this week, though, so our little bonding moment that we had last week is gone. Rex Road's ruined it.
He's kind of ugly,
though. It was the best Monday show ever.
Yeah. I asked Corey in India, like, how'd it go? He's like, well, I mean, I was amazing. Okay. I believe you.
As it typically
By
goes.
By the way, did you guys see that Kung Fu Panda 4 comes out this weekend?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a Kung Fu Panda 3.
You missed
Actually,
out,
I
man.
This
and,
was
and let me tell you, you have a baby. Your time is coming.
Oh, I'm well aware. Oh, yeah. I'm going deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole. No question about that. So, Corey, 2 weeks ago, a little bit over two weeks ago, the Predators got smoked 9-2 by the Dallas Stars.
Destroyed.
We were talking about trading everybody on the roster and the return that you could get for Saros and Carrier and all these free agents. And since then, they've rolled off 8 in a row. In incredibly impressive fashion, including a big win against Colorado on Saturday, and find themselves, for the moment, firmly entrenched in a playoff spot. What do you make of this turnaround and the Predators' 8-game winning streak that has a chance to be extended to 9 tomorrow?
Remarkable. And I also say remarkable, you know, what we haven't talked about is all 8 of these games have been in regulation. I mean, they haven't snuck any by. I mean, that was... You know, they've had back-to-back. I mean, what is the last two games, 11-2?
Yeah.
I mean, so they're played remarkably well, and they just seem to be picking up more confidence. You know, if there was a game for them to drop, it was Saturday. You know, they just won 7 in a row. You got 3 softer games coming up where you're looking like, okay, we need to get those 6 points, and Colorado's really good, so if we're going to drop one, this is it, blah, 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 blah. And then you just go out and hammer them. So it's been remarkable, and it has changed my thinking some. You know, I wasn't for trading everyone because I didn't know how much capital they could get back. And my thing with trading people is you better have someone to replace them, usually. All right? And so, like, with Saros, I was good with it because you've got Askarov waiting to come up. And so you've got a replacement. So, you know, I was like, you can get something for Juice. And evidently they couldn't, because I think if they could have really gotten something for Juice, he probably would have been dealt before now. And so the deal wasn't good enough. But now, I mean, with the way they're playing, I mean, in the long run, I look at this roster and I still say they need more top 6 scoring. Okay. But I'm kind of at the point with 20 games to go with how well they're playing where I'm like, let's just ride it out and see what they can do. You know, I hate to say they've earned that, but, you know, they just whacked Colorado at home. Let's just see what they can do. It's fun. I mean, and by the way, every home playoff game they get, they make a whole bunch of money.
Well, that's true. That kind of relates to what we just talked about. How about expanding the NHL playoffs, Corey? You for it? Expanding the NCAA tournament, NHL playoffs, et cetera, et cetera?
I am not for expanding the NHL playoffs.
Thank you.
Okay. I mean, was that even a conversation?
It's unquestionably the right thing, according to
John Buchegross. It's going to happen. It's unquestionably the right thing.
Why? Like half the team is in the playoffs. Already
know.
Half the league makes the playoffs.
But there's money to be had.
Now? Like everybody's in?
I guess.
Do we just cancel the regular season and start like a round of 11, best of 11 in November? And that way you'll be done in June?
See, unquestionably. I mean, like, we keep asking this, and I think we're going to get the same answers.
I think we're get some more questions about it, yes, for sure. What about the Cody Glass part of this, Corey, with the hat trick and everything that, obviously it's been a struggle for Cody Glass this year, and the emotion on the bench with Kara Hammer after the game, just really cool to watch Saturday night.
You know, like I said, your time is coming now that you're a new parent and you're going to get older, and you just get softer, right? As you get older, unless you're Kaharsky, then you just get more and more coarse.
Bitter.
I watched it on Twitter. I had a monster road trip Saturday for girls soccer, so I didn't get to see the game. But I watched the video on Twitter the next morning, and I'm sitting in my bed crying. I mean, It was remarkable. And, you know, the kid had two goals all year. And, you know, to see the way the fans embraced him in that moment was remarkable. And, you know, I know that everything that's been said about Colton Sisson's relationship with him and how he's worked hard and just kept kind of going. And, you know, this is a kid who's had every reason to just go, you know, I'm just not – it's just not happening for me. And to have that moment, you know, with the team on this run, you know, it's just that was kind of the moment I threw up my hands and said, well, let's see what happens because this is pretty special right now.
Speaking of special – I think the combine – is the combine over? I don't know. It's amazing, though. Just an amazing, amazing week of joy for sports fans.
Can I just say, am I the only person who doesn't love Indy? I don't understand.
Oh, you're not the only one.
What is there to love about Indy?
Well, it's fine. I think Indy's a good city. I mean, I've been to the NCAA tournament there a lot and Big Ten tournament. I think it's a good event city. It's just like it's set up well. I mean, like are we better here? We, Nick Kieser. Yes, we are better here because we have a cooler city. But I think it's a good place. I just hate the combine. Let's move the combine around. It's a stupid combine.
Yeah, I don't care about moving the combine around. I think the central location should work for the teams. It should work for the kids. I mean, so if you want to keep it centrally located, say we're going to move it to Chicago, we're going to move it to St. Louis, we're going to move it to I don't care. I don't care. But I agree with you. It's the combine. It's, you know, they tried to make it a fan event. It's not that great of a fan event.
Look at the bench pressing. Ooh. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Any big takeaways by you from the whole thing? I mean, obviously, Xavier Worthy, 4-2-1.
Yeah. You know, and along those lines, I think – you know, we've all been, you know, hemming and hawing over this tackle or wide receiver thing at 7 for the Titans. And I have too, because I mean, you can make strong cases for both ways. But as I watch the combine and I analyze the players that are there, I start to feel more and more like they can get an elite tackle at 7 and still get a really good wide receiver pick 38. So I think that combination could pay off more for them than receiver and then tackle. But by just high end at both of those spots, like there's more high end stuff at receiver at 38, I think. But we'll see. I just, the receiver crop to me looks to be really, really deep, really deep. And they could still add speed. I mean, you know, we don't even talk about the Franklin kid from Oregon. I mean, that kid can run. And he could be there at 38. I mean, you know, so there are dudes who could be there at 38. Now, look, if you think Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze is you know, Justin Jefferson, I mean, you got to take him. So, I mean, it's not really a question. But I go up and down this roller coaster of which way to go, my coaster is now trending towards tackle.
What were your main takeaways from Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan at the combine last week?
That they're really nice to talk to, and I don't have to worry about, you know, feeling stupid for every question I ask.
That's good. That's a good takeaway.
This was one of them. You know, I look, they both were prepared, and that was great. They both didn't hide the team's needs, you know, for speed and playmakers and offensive line play. And the thing is, like, well, they gave away this, they gave away that. Did they? Or are they masking? You don't know. You don't know what game they're playing there. Because, like, you know, Brian talked over and over again about, well, you know, if it's even, you know, I want the guy who scores touchdowns. And we talked about Jamar Chase and Penei Sewell. And then he stressed over and over again, which nobody's talking about, is that Bengals team was in a much different situation than this Titans team is right now and was in a different phase of its development. And so, you know, at this phase of their development, he may be saying, we just need guys who can block because we don't have any. And, you know, I don't think that's true. But because they need dudes. Without question, they need dudes. And so, you know, it was interesting to get into that whole thing. The other thing that Brian said was when talking about the receivers is he said finding a couple of those guys. So it was interesting to think about, you know, with their limited number of draft picks, you know, could they take, you know, two receivers in the first four rounds?
That is interesting. One thing that we now know, breaking news here on the program, Corey Curtis, Mike Evans signing a two-year deal with Tampa Bay, so he is not going to make it free agency. So take one target off the board for the Tennessee Titans.
Wow. The Kansas City Chiefs going to have to play some defense again next year.
Looks like they are.
Corey, what are you doing with your hands? That's my last question for you.
What are you talking about, Joe?
What are you doing with your
hands? Obviously, you miss Vrabel. So, you know,
No, you know, like I said, Vrabel's a good coach, and I'm not disparaging, but, I mean, it was tough. It was tough. And, you know, you could ask questions and, you know, gosh, I've had a million coaches give me a hard time. So, but it's just nice to just like whatever's on your mind, just roll with it and just know you're going to get an answer back. It's just, you know.
It's a bit different. Yeah.
A bit. I mean, really? I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's like a 9.98 different.
Corey, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
If you need, by the way, I have the first Kung Fu 1, 2, and 3 Pandas on DVD. We can also get you a lot of the other dinosaur DVDs for you when your child is ready.
I'm just I respect the DVD. I still have a lot of DVDs too. So I thought maybe the only ones.
I got it.
Yeah, but my child's 11, so it was really before streaming became like the thing. So now I'm stuck with DVDs that I can't sell, so I got to try and pawn them off.
I may take you up on that. Appreciate you, Corey.
Later, guys.
See ya.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest. We'll react to Mike Evans signing back in Tampa Bay, what that means for the receiver market and the Titans coming up next. Also, get back into the Preds and their 8-game winning streak. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you. Thanks to Corey Curtis for being with us in the last segment. Mike Evans re-signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, according to Shefty, 2 years, $52 million for Evans, including $35 million guaranteed. So 2 years, 52, 35 guaranteed for Mike Evans. So take one free agent wide receiver target off the board. I'm not surprised, Joe. Like, I thought, you know, he would probably end up back in Tampa Bay. And it sounds like, according to reports now, they're going to try to get Baker Mayfield locked down to a contract as well. So the reigning NFC South champions trying to bring back their wide receiver and then their quarterback.
Yeah, makes sense. And I think that's a good deal on both sides. Short. But he still has – I think he's got a couple years in the tank for sure. And it's really interesting. Now imagine a year ago projecting that Baker Mayfield, that the Bucs would be trying to, you know, sign him to a somewhat substantial deal. But it's probably going to be a similar kind of thing with him, right? Like a – maybe like – I don't know, maybe not. But like a two-year middling – but middling money for quarterback is still very good, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, he resurrected himself there for sure. I wasn't certain that they were going to sign up, you know, but he was good. He was good last year for those. I mean, even in like the playoff game, he wasn't the problem in that game. I think he made one really bad mistake.
Yeah.
But pretty good. So just pretty good can win the
Detroit Lions offense.
That's right. Well, I mean, they are good on offense. But the NFC South is there for the taking, and that's until Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta.
They kick any field goals up there in Detroit? Is that something they're working on?
I don't know. I mean, I think they should just
– Coach, it's 4th and 30. What do you want to do? Well, send out the offense.
It's like
Jared, go throw it.
Like that Alabama high school coach who never punts, right? Just do that. Why not?
Coach.
What would that look like in the NFL?
There's 3 seconds left. We're down by two. We're on the 5-yard line. You want to kick?
No.
Go for the touchdown.
Just run around. Run around in the end zone. Throw it straight up in the air.
Oh, man. 615-737-1025. I saw Ben Arthur, a friend of the show, tweet this a couple minutes ago. It says Calvin Ridley stock, and it just had the emoji of the stock market going way up. So apparently, this Ben Arthur believes this is really good news for Calvin Ridley with Evans off the board.
Oh, gotcha.
Going that Ridley, the price may have just gone up for him in free agency. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
I'm staying away from that if I'm the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, although, again, I like the idea of, like, you know, like driving the price up or something like that. But, I don't know. Ridley is – there obviously are some questions about him, you know. He's obviously very talented. So, but I think, just like Corey Curtis was saying there, like, if the Titans choose correctly among their first two picks, then I think you're going to end up with a very promising young player.
Yep.
And then how much would you then still need to supplement with previously with free agency?
Yep.
I don't know. Something, I think. But maybe not. I would rather see the Titans put big money, like, well, Chris Jones, I'm with you, Stilly. But also, but if not, you know, like a corner.
Right.
Well, whoever is there that you can get at corner, I think they really need a cornerback.
Yeah, I totally agree. And like we said, NFL free agency begins a week from Wednesday, the tampering period before then. So you're gonna start to see some things happening over the next few days here. And Mike Evans, kind of the first step of that, getting a two-year deal with Tampa Bay, $52 million, $35 million guaranteed at signing. So big payday for Mike Evans. He returns to Tampa Bay where every year of his career to this point, he's been a 1,000-yard receiver, which is pretty remarkable given how long he's been in the league.
Yeah, he's a hell of a player.
No question about it. Preds win their eighth in a row on Saturday night, 5-1 against the Colorado Avalanche. A hat trick for Cody Glass. They're rolling right now. 8 wins in a row. They've beaten some good teams. You know, Vegas has been hurt. So Vegas lost Mark Stone in the Preds game. Eichel's been hurt. So they've been struggling a little bit lately, but it's still a big win for the Preds on the road to kind of kick things off here after the St. Louis game on the road trip. But we talked about it heading into the game on Friday on the show. Of the 7-game winning streak at the time, 5 of them had been against teams that were not in the playoffs. So a big test for the Predators over the weekend against Colorado. Colorado had played really well in the 2 games prior to that. I was talking to their coach on Friday at practice. They feel great about kind of where they're at and the way that they're playing. Preds handled them. I thought it was a great hockey game for the first 2 periods. Back and forth, some good chances both ways. You know, McKinnon had some great looks that he created for himself in the first 2 periods. Scored on one of them. Saros made a huge save on him late in the second on a breakaway. And then in the third, for the third consecutive game, Joe, Preds just slammed the door in the third period. And that's been a kind of a bugaboo for them this year. They've given up some leads. The third period, for the most part this year, has been their worst period of hockey. But during this winning streak, and specifically the last 3 games at home, they have been awesome in the third period. And that is an encouraging development this time of year for sure, heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's really interesting how that's become a consistent thing with them. They bring their best of third period. They've given up a fair amount of leads this year in the third period. Had some dicey third periods. So why are they playing like this in the third period all of a sudden? Every time out.
You know, well, I would say the goaltending has stepped up, which it has. But, I mean, the thing is, in the third period over these 3 games, he hadn't really been that busy. Like, Saros hadn't had to do a ton in the third period. And, look, you know, Colorado got a couple of good looks in the third period the other night. Minnesota got 1 or 2 in the third period the game before. Ottawa did not get any earlier, literally any good looks in that game in the third period. But, you know, Saros has been able there to close the door when he's needed to. But they really just had the puck the whole time. Like, they had the puck the whole time in the third period Saturday night for the most part. They've been really opportunistic. You know, Colton Sissons talked about it after the game. And, you know, the way that he basically described it was, recently in the third period, he feels like teams have been uninterested against them. Of like, they've worn them down to the point where they've been uninterested to do the things that are necessary to compete in the third period. And, you know, how much of that is the opponent that they've had? Like, I think Ottawa, for sure, was second half of a back-to-back, and they've just been getting smoked recently. And I think there's some emotional things going on with them that they just are not handling well right now. Minnesota, they smoked. I mean, they came out in the third period in a huge game and they played great. Colorado was playing really good hockey for 40 minutes. I thought it was back and forth with the Predators, and then the Predators came out and smoked them. So what does it all mean? I don't know. I don't know why they've been able to flip the switch as quickly as they have in that third period, but they're doing, I mean, up and down the lineup, all the little things that go into winning, they're doing at a pretty high level right now, all of them.
Yeah, it's I'd love to know, yeah, just what percentage of this or whatever is just like the system really clicking, you know? I mean, obviously they have recovered. They have elevated the energy and all the things that you need, all the intangibles that are universal in hockey or really in sports, right? Like since the Dallas loss. But how much of this also is like system clicking stuff? I mean, it has to be some, I think.
Well, I think it is some, but if I'm a Predators fan, I'm hoping that's what it is, because that to me is sustainable. Like if the system, if this is as simple as they have finally figured out the system and everything that goes into it, not that you're going to win every game.
No.
But the way that you're playing is sustainable if that's what it is. And if things have started to click to the point where the system has become second nature and you're doing a little less thinking, a little bit more reacting out there, and you're able to play faster. I mean, that's really the thing that stood out to me Saturday, Joe. Like I was at Colorado practice Friday. I said this earlier in the show, and it just looked a little different. I was like, man, they're moving. And it's not just McKinnon. Like McKinnon is his own guy, and he's probably the most explosive player in the league, either him or McDavid. So you expect that from him. But they were, I mean, the whole team was just moving. And I thought in the first period to kick things off, and at one point Colorado had a 7-1 shot advantage, and I was like, ooh, I don't know if the Preds are going to be able to keep up with them. And then they did. Like they turned it around and they skated with them, and it didn't look like, with the exception of McKinnon, that there was like some glaring speed advantage out there for Colorado, which I thought was good news for a team that moves really fast and plays with a good pace to them. I thought the Predators matched that pace. So if it is the system, to me, if I'm a Preds fan, that's a good thing, because you can work with that if the system is clicked.
Yeah, it's not like the Preds are loaded with speed.
No.
So taking away time and space, executing that, having the puck, I mean, aggression, you know, you can leave yourself vulnerable that way too. But if you do it the way it's designed, then it works in your favor.
615-737-1025. Preds have won 8 in a row, a hat trick for Cody Glass on Saturday night. We'll get into that and what that could mean for him moving forward as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025, our phone number. I got some tickets to give away to see the Preds go for win number 9 in a row coming up tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena, taking on the Montreal Canadiens. Got a trivia question for you that you must answer on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The text line, so don't call in. Preds have won 8 in a row. They have one other franchise winning streak of 8 games that was ended back in the 2005-06 season, which I believe they began that season 8-0. So I think it was a winning streak to begin the season.
Wow.
Their franchise record for wins in a row is 10. Tell me what season that came. Which season did the Predators set their franchise record for 10 wins in a row? If you've been a Predators fan for a reasonable length of time, this should be pretty easy for you. The first person to correctly guess the answer on our text line will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Montreal Canadiens on Tuesday, March the 5th, which is tomorrow, at Bridgestone Arena. Nick Kieser manning the text line as we speak. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Nick's been a little fired up behind the glass today.
Yeah, Nick's been yelling at himself a lot, which is interesting. I mean, it's good. Yeah, he's keeping himself active. Yeah, look at him. He doesn't even know we're talking about him right now. That's great.
He's yelling at you now.
Hey, speaking of, real quick, I want to throw this at you, actually. Maybe Nick can weigh in, too, if he wants to listen to the show, for the 5 minutes of the show that he'd like to listen to. So Stilly texted me Saturday and said, "You're a moron." I'm saying, "Okay, hi, Stilly. How are you?"
thanks for texting.
So this is the debate. So we had a deadline, best deadline trade. I know you put up some poll on his muted Twitter account. Best deadline trade of the past 10 years for the Preds. Okay. I put the Johansson trade number one. Now, that trade happened in January. To me, anything after the calendar flips, I know it's not right by the deadline, but, I mean, it's
I think I'm Team Stilly on this
one. You're Team Stilly?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the cutoff then? What's the cutoff for? Because I mean, some of these other ones that people had in there are, yeah, they aren't right up against the deadline.
I'll go within a month of the deadline.
Within a month?
Within a month of the deadline.
Okay.
Is that fair or is that unfair?
I mean, I obviously disagree. I mean, I asked before I did it, and I was like, yeah, it's fine. But
I don't think it's an egregious violation.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I get it. I mean, two months is a while. I mean, that's – but it's like I just feel like once you get to the new year and you've been well into the season, you kind of have a lay of the land, that it's basically what it is.
I don't have a huge problem with what you're saying.
Okay. Well, I called Stilly a moron back, so we traded nasty texts.
That's good.
How about Keezer? Keezer, did you hear me? Are you
listening?
Yeah,
how much of a moron am I? I hear everything that you say, Joe.
Oh, he's fired up.
I didn't call you a moron.
Well, you're saying I'm not listening.
Okay. Okay,
what's
so you've listened.
What's your question?
What? I just said it. You said you were listening. Are you listening or are you not?
Well, Robert gave me something to do, so ask your question.
That's true, I did.
All right.
Robert.
Trent, you got me all flustered here, Nick. My goodness. I don't know what to do with this. This
new emotion that you've never seen me have.
Yeah, this talking back Nick.
Disrespectful
I don't know what to do. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Ryan Johansson trade was in January. I called it a deadline trade. Still, he called me a moron.
It was like early January, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like January 8th or something like that.
It's not a deadline deal.
Ooh, keys are strong.
That's fine. All right,
why would that be a deadline deal?
Like, my argument is basically once the calendar flips,
okay.
You know, I mean, the season is well underway. You kind of have a lay of the land.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it was.
I think at the time you could classify it as because David Poile was trying to make a splash. And maybe he thought that was the time and place to make a deal like that because the Blue Jackets were going to try to move him anyway. I mean, I see your argument. I just don't agree with it fully that it would be classified as that. At the time, I think that would be a great move to kind of say, yeah, this season, this was the biggest move. Because Nashville didn't really do anything else after that, right? I can't recall.
That was their big move.
Yeah, that was about it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that was their move when, of course, you know, helped them win a playoff series and then the next year helped them a lot. That's fine. I mean, the Athletic let me do it. I guess we're morons. It's fine. I mean, I think there's probably a middle ground between I disagree with that and you're a moron, but, you know, people don't understand. Stilly behind the scenes, he's ruthless, man.
He is ruthless. Just keeps it going. Yeah, he was texting me at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning about whether or not the Titans should sign A.J. Dillon. I was like, no, shut up.
Leave me alone. God, Jared.
So the Preds have won 8 in a row. The deadline is this Friday, speaking of the deadline. So it is decision week for Barry Trotz and the Preds and the rest of the league. It's fascinating this week. It's fascinating from, I think, a different point of view. This time 2 weeks ago, I thought it was going to be a very interesting week to see like who got sold off and how much churning Barry Trotz was willing to do at the deadline. And I guess it's changed now from the standpoint of like I don't expect a ton to happen for the Preds this week. You know, Jeff Merrick put it out there yesterday to keep an eye on the Alex Carrier situation. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. And he talked about Spencer Stastny and the Predators kind of loving him. And I've heard some similar things behind the scenes of they love Spencer Stastny and he's ready to be in the NHL and they got to find a spot for him to be in the NHL. So I would assume, regardless of what they do at the deadline, that at some point Spencer Stastny is probably going to be up here and is going to be playing with them. So is that because there's been a spot created for him at the deadline? Or is that just because they bring him up and start to play him over somebody that's already in the lineup? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But there's that to keep an eye on. There's the Novak situation. Elliot Friedman reported on Saturday that the Preds and Novak are closing in on a deal. So it sounds like there could be a Tommy Novak deal at some point this week. We'll see what happens on that front. And then, of course, the UC Saros stuff still kind of on the back burner in terms of is there going to be somebody that comes out of nowhere with a huge offer this week? If so, is Barry Trotz willing to listen to that offer with them on the middle of an 8th-game winning streak? And you look at who that could be, like Jersey is slowly falling out of this thing. They're not completely out of it yet, but they had a bad weekend. And that was – I said it on Friday, like if you're still in the trade UC Saros camp, you're probably pulling for Jersey to win a couple of games, like 6-5, and be like, man, if we had a goalie, we'd be really good right now. They totally screwed it up this weekend. Yeah. So I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, there's Devils fans are calling for Lindy Ruff to be fired and for people to start selling at the deadline. So we'll see what happens there. The Carolina part of this, Carolina's been on a roll. They're playing really well. I don't know if they're going to mix things up to the level that would be required to get UC Saros. Are they willing to pay that price right now? Probably not. L.A., you're in direct competition with a playoff spot with. And then there's the Edmonton part of this where Ken Holland has said that he's not getting into the goalie market. So the options appear to be limited on the UC Saros front right now.
Maybe Holland and Trotz are both lying, and they're actually working on a deal right now.
Maybe.
We don't know. Speaking of the Devils real quick, you know, Devils Twitter got a hold of my brunette story last week. Oh, boy.
A lot of stuff about Lindy Ruff.
Yeah, exactly. We should have kept Bruno! Yes, there's a lot of that going on there.
I see that.
Yep. Well, I mean, I'm not saying that him leaving is like their issue, but he did seem to have a positive effect on them that isn't there now. So
he did. No question about that. I'm just glad that we have I haven't heard a whole lot of Predators fans talking about firing Andrew Brunette the last 2 weeks. It's been a nice refreshing change of pace after what we saw against Dallas.
I saw you tweet about that the other day, and it's like, I mean, it really had to be like two idiots, right?
It was more than two, but it was, I think, a relatively small number.
Was it a Preds Facebook? It was actually on...
Oh, it was on Twitter.
But then again, Twitter is like, everything I tweet now is liked by eight, like, quote-unquote models with fake pictures. I don't even know what's going on with Twitter anymore.
Yeah, where's that? Rob on the text line asking about Tyson Barry. I mean, I would assume if somebody wants him, they can have him this week, I think is basically what that's going to look like. I mean, if you're the Preds... I mean, could you get back like a sixth for Tyson Barry at this point?
I mean, he'll get moved, right? He'll get moved for something.
I think.
It just will be very.
I mean, like I said, if somebody wants him this week, they can have him.
Yeah.
That's how that's going to go. I think Barry Trotz has been trying to move him for a while.
It's kind of.
And it hasn't worked.
I have to think.
He's
got enough skill. What's that?
It's the contract.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's been willing to take on the money that goes along with it.
What about retaining some? If you get a decent return back, if you get like a third?
Yeah, I'd retain some if you get a decent pick back.
Yeah.
I mean, his contract's up at the end of the year anyway. So, yeah.
Not that much. Yeah. By the way, Raymond and Franklin says, New Michelle can get pretty sassy, LOL. Mm. I like that we're still calling Nick New Michelle.
So, hey, I just got a text from Kristen. She was listening, and she said, I'm pretty cranky this morning.
Woo! Oh, so she's on my side.
Woo!
Thank you. I don't know what's going on. He's been in there yelling at himself today.
Yes.
Like, he just, like, randomly blurts out
Kiezer's
words.
Kiezer's ready for trade deadline week. There's an intensity that Kiezer's bringing to the table this morning, which I appreciate.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is it trading deadline week excitement?
No, not really. No.
What's going on with you? What's happening? You can tell us.
Just a long weekend, I guess. Okay. I don't know. It's been fun. I mean, last night was a late night for sure, but
Lack of sleep?
I enjoyed it. Maybe partly, yeah.
Why was last night a late night?
I went to Nash Vegas.
Oh,
right. Oh, that's right.
That was fun, though.
You are always working, man.
I am, yes.
Calm down, New Michelle.
Oh, man.
New Michelle.
You're going to be New Michelle until 2030.
I don't say go Titans.
Now Michelle's getting shots. Oh.
Some strays.
Love you, Michelle, but that is one for sure.
When is she starting with?
I think she already started.
She started already?
She started last week.
Oh, well, crap. I totally missed that.
I think it was last week, maybe the week before.
We might have to get old Michelle on at some point here.
Old Michelle and new Michelle. Take your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. Preds going for win number 9 in a row tomorrow. Final thoughts on the Preds, their win against the Avalanche on Saturday, and what this could mean for them. Could they make things interesting here? From a playoff perspective, we'll take your thoughts on that as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you. We are live from our 1025 The Game studios, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Preds going for win number 9 in a row tomorrow against the Montreal Canadiens. So standings update, Preds are 7 points up on Calgary and the St. Louis Blues for the final playoff spot. They're tied points-wise with the Kings for the first wild card. Kings have played in 2 less games, so Kings with some games in hand. Preds are in a good spot right now. St. Louis did win over the weekend, but Preds keep pace with them. Calgary got a come-from-behind win, and they've started to trade people off. So I would assume at some point they're going to fall off. Now, having said that, the Predators traded people off last year, and they actually moved up. So
that's right.
We'll see what happens on that front. But Preds are sitting in a good spot with 20 games left. They got 20 games up coming up. Two more at home on this homestand. They got a back-to-back coming up this weekend on the road in Columbus, and then another big one against the Minnesota Wild. How are we feeling about what they could be playoff-wise? If they finish this off and they get there and they're able to get in the playoffs, probably as a wild card, either wild card one or wild card two, which means you would be taking on either Winnipeg, Dallas, or likely Vancouver. One of those three is probably your likely opponent if you get a wild card spot. Edmonton has an outside chance to catch Vancouver, and Colorado, there's a chance they could pass Winnipeg and Dallas, but
yeah.
Winnipeg, Dallas, and Vancouver, your most likely opponents. How are we feeling about matchups against those three if that's the way things end up going?
I mean, you ask today, and it's like, not terrible.
Yeah.
Are they going to keep playing like this? Is this what they are? Are they going to, like this week, this whole season, it's like, oh, a quote-unquote manageable little stretch at home sounds good, and it's not been good for them. They're going to close this out and make it 10 in a row, a five-game road swing and a five-game homestand and win it all? Not win it all, win them all.
Yeah.
The way they're playing right now, and you said earlier the Soros numbers, that's not the only story with that. I don't think it's just like he was playing poorly and now he's playing amazing, but it's all working to create absolutely elite goaltending numbers. So we know how good he is. And I've always thought, well, this team, and yeah, I know the Preds have not won a playoff series since 2017, but since Soros kind of elevated and became one of the best goaltenders in the NHL, I've always thought you get this team in a playoff series, and that's how you can close the gap.
Well, I mean, right now they're scoring over four goals a game. Throughout this eight-game streak, they've scored at least four goals every time. So when you're scoring that much, you're going to put yourself in a good position to win anyway. When you factor in that you're scoring that much and your goalie's playing as well as he's playing, well, that's why you've won eight games in a row. When you've got those two things going, you're a hard team to beat when those things are happening. I mean, the scoring at some point from a secondary scoring perspective is probably going to regress back a little bit. Maybe. I mean, maybe it is. Like, that goes back to what you were talking about earlier, though. If it is as simple as it's the systems and they figured it out, like, Novak has come alive here. I think Novak is gifted offensively, and he's putting the puck in the back of the net, so that's good to see. The glass hat trick was really cool on Saturday night, and it was an emotional night, and I thought the scene after the game with him was awesome. I mean, he's a great kid. It was good to see things go well for him after the year he's had. I do think he is a guy, though, that, sometimes when it's not going well, I think it really affects him and the way that he plays. So now that he's seen a game like that go well for him and the puck go in the net, could it have the opposite effect? Like, could this springboard him into a really nice close to the season? Like, his game, it's been building, and I'm not saying I saw a hat trick coming, but you've seen him being involved in the play a little bit more recently. So now that he has kind of a breakout performance, what does that mean for him down the stretch here? So I guess that's a long way of me asking is the secondary scoring that we've seen over this eight-game stretch, is it maybe a little bit more sustainable than some people would think?
Well, Glass and Novak both have had injury stuff, so keep that in mind too.
Yeah.
So I think health is part of what we're seeing there as well. Get Evangelista going a little bit. That line, and then you get they have, as you said earlier in the show, they got a top line. And then they've got other lines.
Right.
But right now, he's able to just roll the lines because they're all actually doing stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how sustainable it is. I agree, however systemic it is the more the better. And someone texted, it looks like they're just, they're really causing trouble in the neutral zone. That's the thing. It's aggression. It's taking time and space away. It's being precise with that. It's being connected with that, knowing where you're supposed to be, where everybody's going to be. And then you turn over pucks and you get yourself odd man rushes and you create more offense.
Well, that's the thing. And they're turning over pucks and you could see like the stretch passes, which sometimes they've gotten themselves into trouble with that this year, but the stretch passes of, you know, making a 90-foot pass there or a 100-foot pass here with the forwards getting up ice as quick as they can, they've caught some teams the last couple of games. They've created odd man rushes by doing that. You know, McDonough has made a few unbelievable passes from his own end up the ice. Obviously, Josi has. You know, Favreau made a great one the other day, too, that was probably about 110 feet right on the tape to set up an odd man rush chance. So, like, that part of the system, you can see it. Like, it's the forwards, as soon as there's a chance that the defenseman has the puck, the forwards are going. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but they're stretching teams out through the neutral zone right now, and it's causing those teams some problems.
And as we talked about last week, Josi took some time, very different kind of way to play for him, but
he's playing great.
He's just too – yeah, he's going to figure it out, and so he's playing at a high level. I did want to mention Keith. Keith said, I'm so glad you said that about the models. I was afraid I've been doing something I shouldn't have. A lot of sketchy people follow me. Yes, Keith, it is universal, my friend. Don't worry. You're fine. Just nude in bio.
All over the place. Things going on when you tweet right now. Like, oh.
It's not.
Wow, a lot of people have liked this tweet. Oh. None of them are real.
I got a lot of engagement on this one.
Wow, a lot of replies. Oh, okay.
Fire Brunette, nude in bio.
That does it for us today here on the program. Jason Big Joe is coming up next. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.